Today's share in the Dear Shu Mishnah Berurah Yomi program is Daf Kuf Gimel Omad Aleph. We're in the fifth volume of Mishnah Berurah, and we began yesterday Siman Tov Tzadi Vav, which deals with the very important laws of Yontiv Sheni Shel Golios. So we began discussing yesterday what this is, and we left off with the last line on Kuf Beis Omid Beis, where the last words of the first line tells us that when a person doesn't follow the laws of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios, what the rabbis set up, Uminadin Lemi Shemizalzobo, the rabbis would excommunicate, they would put into Nidui somebody that didn't take seriously Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios and blew it off and said, nah, I don't need to observe that. It's only Safek, it's only Midrabanan, it's not real, we know the days. So if somebody did that, we put them in Nidui. So we did Sivkotin Aleph yesterday in the Mishnah Berurah. Let's do now Sivkotin Beis. Lemisha Mazalzabo, anybody that makes fun of, takes less than seriously, Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios, we excommunicate them. So this is if he did it b'mezid, if they did this on purpose. And this is true, afilu zilzelbo bedover shumishum shvus, or betchum in derabbanan, even if it's something that is only a din derabbanan, it's only a shvus, or it's tchum, which is derabbanan according to most opinions. Nevertheless, even on such a relatively minor desecration or zilzul of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios, nami min adno. So we excommunicate a person for this. Now, excommunication is a very serious thing, and we only do that under very serious situations. Furthermore, v'kasu achronim, the achronim write, da'afilu chillu al yedei akum. Even if you did this via an akum, amir lema akum, you're not allowed to tell a guy to do things for you on Shabbos, nor on Yom Tov. So even on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios, if you just tell an akum to do things for you that you're not allowed to do, we also excommunicate, we put the person in Nidui, even for such a type of a transgression. Because the kol mash also berishon, also besheni. Anything that you're not allowed to do on the regular day of Yontif, you're also not allowed to do on Yontif Sheni Shel Golios. Furthermore, v'nizbar b'poskim, he brings this down the name of the Ran and others as well. V'nizbar b'poskim, the Yom Tov Sheni chomer b'zem Yom Tov Rishon. In some ways, we treat Yom Tov Sheni stricter than we do Yom Tov Rishon in terms of this din of Mizalzel, we put them in Nidui. Because the Yom Tov Rishon on the regular first day of Yom Tov, which is a full Yom Tov Daraisa, Ein Minadim, we only put somebody into excommunication, into Nidui, Rak Bi Ovar Alisa Daraisa, if they intentionally transgress a Din Daraisa. But if they go and transgress a Din Darabanan on the first day of Yom Tov, Aval HaShvus Darabanan, Ein Minadim, we don't put him into excommunication, we don't put him into Nidui. What do? Rak Malkin, also Makis Mardus. We give them Makis Mardus. We give them a patch. We give them very serious patches. We'll see the definition of Makis Mardus in a moment. As opposed to, these are rabbinical lashes, as opposed to Mashein Kim B'yontif Sheni. If somebody's Mazalzel on the second day of Yontif, not only do we put them into Cherim if they're over what would be a Darais on Yom Tov Rishon, but even if they're all of them are on Yontif Sheni, we're all Durabonans. So we put them into Nidoy even for being over these Durabonans. Why? Why is it stricter in some ways Yom Tov Sheni than Yom Tov Rishon? So the Mishnah Berurah explains, V'tam, the reason is, Mishum de Yom Tov Sheni kol ikaro eino ela b'derabanan. The whole idea of Yom Tov Sheni is the whole thing is derabanan. There is no darais on Yom Tov Sheni. And therefore, in Cain, ki aver bo al ezed dover, if somebody transgresses any aspect of Yom Tov Sheni, so then what he's doing essentially is uprooting it entirely. Because there is no difference between the Durabanans and Yom Tov Sheni, they're all the same. And therefore, if somebody does a Durabanan, he's essentially saying, I don't believe in Yom Tov Sheni, and therefore they would excommunicate him. As opposed to Masha'in Kim Yom Tov Rishon. If somebody does a Durabanan, they transgress a Durabanan Yom Tov Rishon, so they're doing something terribly wrong, but they're admitting still that there is a Yom Tov Rishon because they didn't transgress a Daraisa. Sheino Okro B'mesh Aval Shvus. By transgressing a Shvus, you're not saying, I don't believe in Yom Tov. You're just saying, this is Durabanan, I'm transgressing. Because all of the Torah prohibitions about Yom Tov Rishon, you did not transgress. And therefore, the rabbis were stricter on the Durabanans of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios than the Durabanan of Yom Tov Rishon. That is the first opinion that Mishnah Berurah brings down. Then he says, V'yesh poskim chokim zeh. There are others that disagree with this. According to them, ulodidhu, en chiluk klal ben Yom Tov Rishon and Yom Tov Sheni. There is no difference. If you transgress, you're going to be put into neither, whether it's a Durabanan on the first day or the Durabanan on the second day. V'adavar toli rak l'fi ru'us enei hadayonim. And this is totally up to the eyes of the judges, the meshiro and the fiyanin, and they estimate each case individually. And they say, if this is worthwhile to put you into chayrim, into nidui, they'll do it whether it's on Tov Rishon or Yom Tov Sheni. If it's not worthwhile, then they won't put you into nidui. So they have to decide, is it enough to just give him malchus, or should they excommunicate him? Excommunication is stricter than malchus. Malchus is a physical injury. Excommunication is more serious. And therefore, raksha reshus b'yodim afilu nadosa. The rabbis have that choice, and if they feel the option is needed, they can even put him into excommunication. Finally, the if the person transgressed, but he did it because the rabbi told him to, the rabbi made a mistake. So obviously that person, we don't excommunicate. We don't give him malchus. Shari shogiku, he's totally shogik. He did what the rabbi told him to do, so he's obviously not at any fault whatsoever. Now, the issue footnote number 6 brings down over here, what exactly is this malchus mardus? What is the shear for this malchus mardus that we're talking about? So he brings down from the Magen Avraham that the shear for malchus mardus is 13, as opposed to the 39 that you get for daraisa malchus. Here, the Magen Avraham says it's only 13. However, he adds that the Rambam disagrees with that. And the Matzis Hasheko brings down that the Rambam's opinion is, shemalkin oso malchus mardus ad shetetze nafsho. You can beat him to death if the rabbis feel that that's necessary. And therefore there is no shear, as opposed to malchus min daraisa, you're not allowed to beat the guy to death. You have to estimate how much he can take. If he can take it, then you give him the full 39 lashes, otherwise you're not allowed to. But malchus mardus, these rabbinical lashes, you can even give him to the point of death. And this is also in the Tosefta, in Malchus, it brings down, shemalkus mardus al avir derabanan. The reason we give malchus mardus for an avir derabanan is that the person should do tshuva, or until we kill him, until he dies, if he's not willing to do tshuva, because not listening to the rabbis can be an extremely big problem. And therefore, we give him malchus until he agrees to listen to the rabbis, or until he dies. And this is also opinion of Rashi. The Elyur Rabbah, on the other hand, writes that, bringing down from the Tor, that the shear for malchus mardus is shlosh invitation malchus. It's the same as malchus d'oraisa. However, Tosfos in Nazir says differently. He writes, Yesh chiluk bein malchus mardus hanisenes kidei lechapos od l'makai mitzvah. There's a difference between giving somebody lashes, malchus mardus, to make them do a mitzvah. And in that situation, the shear is until they even die, or until they follow what the rabbi said for them to do, as opposed to the malchus mardus you're giving somebody as a punishment who's already transgressed an avera. In this situation, he says, they already did the Avera, so just like if they did a Daraisa, we'd only give them 39 Malchus for Darabonin as well. We're only going to give them 39 Malchus maximum. And this is the Machzis Hashek who said in the name of the Ram the same thing. However, he says, Malchus Mardus, that you're giving for an Onish as a punishment because somebody did an Avera, he says, in that situation, it's lighter than the Malchus that you give for somebody being over in Issa Daraisa. And he says, the Shear, therefore, is dependent upon what the Beis Din thinks is appropriate, but Lav Davka is going to be 39 Malchus necessarily. And this is also the opinion of the Ritva. Then the Mechaber continues and he says, "V'mutzur v'the rabbanon." If the person who is transgressing yantav shein shogali happens to be a talmud chacham, he's a tzur v'the rabbanon. He's a young talmud chacham, so ein machmirin l'nadoso. Then we don't do the more chumridik position of putting him in excommunication, which is more actually severe than giving him malchus, than giving him lashes. Ela malchus, so we just give him lashes. And the Mishmur comments over here in Sivkot and Gimel, the shear for this malchus mardus, yesh bo deas ben aposkim. There are many different ideas amongst the poskim, as we just pointed out in Dershu footnote number 6. We had, and the opinion the Mishmur says, I am the Mogen Avraham, del Yerabba, which we brought down in Dershu footnote number 6. So this is what we give a Talmud Chacham, who unfortunately is mezalzel in Yontif Sheni Shogolios. And as we just said, this will depend on the different opinions. Now we go to Sif Beis. The Mechaber writes, "Ein chiluk bein rishon l'sheni." There is no difference between yontiv rishon and yontiv sheni. Ella le'inyan meis. There is one difference in regards to the burial of a dead person. Rachmana l'son, if somebody dies, so on the first day of yontiv, you're allowed to bury him via goyim. On the second day of yontiv, you're actually allowed to bury him via Jewish people themselves. And the Mishnah Berurah in Sivkot and Dalet tells us, Mishum Kvodo, and this is done because of Kavod HaMes, not to leave the mess lying around, because that would be a terrible desecration, the mess would decay, would spoil. V'yisbar l'kama m'simen tof kuf chavav, and this dinim we'll learn later on. Now, ulinyan kiboy deleka, and in regards to extinguishing a flame, so ayin in the pre-chadosh, she also says there are coolers in that area. And v'yisbar l'kama, we'll learn all those dinim m'simen tof kuf yudalit in sif aleph. So we'll wait till we get to both the inyan of kvuras hames on yantav sheni, as well as kiboy, extinguishing a flame, on yantav sheni. Now, Dershu footnote number 7 has an arichas over here in terms of other ideas. So he says, in regards to sreifas chametz that you find on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Pesach, you're not allowed to have chametz in your possession. If you find chametz in your possession on Chol HaMoed, you're supposed to burn it. But in Yom Tov, you're not allowed to burn it. But what about Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golius? So Shulchan Aruch taught us earlier in Simen Tov Mem Vav, Shedino Kechametz Shenimzav Chol HaMoed. On Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golius, you can burn it just like you can burn it on Chol HaMoed. below kichamit shenim so beyontif rishon, and not like chametz that you find on the first day of yontif, which you just put a utensil on top of it. And therefore, on yontif sheni shogolis, you're allowed to burn it and not just put a kli on top of it. And the Mishnah Berurah over there added, Shekama posum chokum alav, that not everybody agrees with that din. And they say that Yontif Sheni has the same din as Yontif Rishon, l'chol dover. So in regards to Sreipas Chomets that you find on Yontif Sheni, there is a difference of opinion. Furthermore, V'chein dover she'enu also be Yontif Medina, el'arak machmas chashash b'yamo, things that are also on Yontif, not because it's absolutely forbidden, but just as a chashash that something may lead from it that would be wrong. So the Shulchan Aruch said also, ein tzorach l'achmi bo b'yontif sheni. On Yontif Sheni Shugolios, that's another difference between Yontif Sheni Shugolios and the first day of Yontif. And then, the Mishnah Berurah brings down a number of differences in regards to a mila, linya milas tinok shenola ben ashmashos, and when you would do the bris mila, and as well, a child born from a cesarean section, and if the eighth day comes out in Yom Tov Sheni Shogolios, ayin in the rest of this footnote for a number of different inyanim regarding a bris mila. Then he brings down an interesting additional point, bris mila bismano on chutz laretz. So it's on the eighth day, is the Yom Tov Sheni Shogolios. And you have a mile from chutz laretz, who would be desecrating Yom Tov if he did this, but he's allowed to, and you have a mile from Eretz Yisrael. For him, it's already no longer Yom Tov. So Rosh Shlomo Zalman Zatzal says, even in this situation, you don't necessarily have to give the moel from Eretz Yisrael the right to do this. It's not called a zilzul if the moel from Chutz Laaretz, who is for him Yontif, does the bris mila, because the bris mila is allowed. Finally, he says, imamilu hu bavadei shlo bizman, a bris mila that's done not on the eighth day. For example, the tinok nolai ben hashmashos asar yom lefnei yom tusheni. The child was born during the ben hashmashos and wasn't able to have the bris mila done because you only do a vadei bris mila. So the Shelos HaTshuvos, no, the Yehuda brings down, Shav Shalika Alocha Nira Shein Lamola B'yom Zeh, you're not allowed to do the Bris Mila on Yom Tov Sheni, nevertheless, Ein Limchos B'misha Meikha Lamola. If somebody wants to, you don't have to protest. And this is based upon the Shach, and actually the Vilna Gaon as well. On the other hand, Chassam Sofer disagrees, and he says, Ein Lahaka B'zeh Klal, you're not allowed to go and do this Bris Mila on the Yom Tov Sheni Shogolias, and this is also the opinion of Shlomo Zalman Zatzal and Rav Yashiv Zatzal. So that's the first difference between Yom Tov Rishon and Yom Tov Sheni is in linya meis, and the other things that we just mentioned regarding maybe chametz and in regards to bris mila. And then the Mechaber writes v'chein lichol es ha'ayin. Another difference between Yom Tov Rishon and Yom Tov Sheni Shogolios is lichol es ha'ayin, to do various medicinal therapies on Yom Tov Sheni. So there's a leniency to do some of them on Yom Tov Sheni that's not present on Yom Tov Rishon. The Mishnah Berurah in Siv Katan Hey explains to us, Mayri Shechosh Be'enuk Tzatz. We're talking here about, for example, you have a slight problem with your eye, V'chol Gufo Bari, but the rest of your body is okay. Ve'eno Margish Mechosh Megufo Machmas Ayin. And you don't have anything wrong with your body, you don't have this Margish Mechosh Begufo, you don't have a weakening of your body because of this eye illness that you have. So on Yom Tov Rishon, you wouldn't be allowed to treat this eye illness, but on Yom Tov Sheni, you'd be allowed to. The Bechagon Zeh, B'Shabbos, in this fashion on Shabbos, and on Yom Tov, also lasso shum refuah the atzmo, you wouldn't be allowed to do anything by yourself on Yom Tov Rishon, afilu b'shino, even doing it in a different manner, as we have already learned, the commotion is borel el, simen shin chav chesiv, zayt yud zayin in the Mishnah Berurah, and the siv katan nun beis, but here, b'hocha b'yom tov sheni, shari l'chadchila, you're allowed to do this even yourself, l'chadchila, b'afilu b'li shino, and even without any change in the way you do it. Now, Deir Shifut number 8 brings down, even to swallow pills on Yom Tov Sheni, so we will learn in Mitzvah Shem and Simen Tov Kuf Lamed Beis that that's Osir, Mishum Gzeir Shema Yishrok Sammonim Avur Zeh. That you wouldn't be allowed to do, whether it's Yom Tov Rishon or Yom Tov Sheni, because of the Gzeir that you may come to grind herbs and things like that, and that you're not allowed to do. Dirshu footnote number 9 brings down, what about smoking cigarettes on Yom Tov Sheni? Now, I always point out, whenever we have any of these dinim about smoking cigarettes, this was before we realized how dangerous cigarettes are and how came out all the poskim today say it's absolutely forbidden for somebody to start smoking, and therefore none of these dinim are halacha l'maisa because nobody should be smoking. I can't point that out enough. Rachmana litzlan, so many people die from smoking. It's the number one killer in the United States, so it's a terrible, terrible, terrible habit. I can't add enough terribles, and we're only dealing here with what the poskim used to think, that smoking was in some ways healthy. In any event, smoking on Yom Tov Sheni, so the Shelos Shuvah Sholom Eishiv brings down Shebal HaFloh Hitr. The Bal HaFloh said you're allowed to go and smoke on Yom Tov Sheni, even though he said you can't smoke on Yom Tov Rishon. Why is that? He brings down for the Bnei Yoshua, Shatam Lahatu Isha Miyom Tov, Hu Demishum Shaisha Messiaea Lebrios Haguf, Bikach Shaozer Leikol. They used to think, this is totally wrong, not even a chashash that it's right. They used to think that smoking somehow helped your digestion and it would make you healthier. And therefore, you could be mad to this on Yom Tov Sheni. Kivan Shahut Lasus Bo in Yoni Refuah, since in some ways Refuah on Yontif Sheni is more Mekel than on Yontif Rishon. However, that is not medically true, and therefore that would not be applicable today. He also brings down from the Mati Ephraim, the Shari Tshuva, the Bir Halacha, the Machzik Bracha, Tzte Chemed, all of these that also say one could theoretically smoke on Yontif Sheni. However, the Ksav Sofer brings down another reason that it should be Aser, and Le'inyan Ishan B'yom Tov Zmanenu, that we've already discussed, that this is something that we certainly would not want anybody to do nowadays. It is absolutely, according to Kimat, every posek today, modern poskim, and even the Gedolim from the previous generation, including the Chofetz Chaim, who said that it's also for a person to smoke. At a minimum, you're over, v'nishmartim o'odis nafshosechem, if not outright laden. The Ramah then adds, O'shar choli she'en bo sakona, the same thing would apply, brings out from the Ran, that anything that is involving a person that doesn't have a choli she'esh bo sakona, nevertheless, there would be allowances for the second day of Yontif that wouldn't be allowed on the first day of Yontif. Chaber continues and says, V'av bisho also be rishon, el ayidei eno yehudi, im ein bo sakona, these things that are also on the first day of Yontif, except via a non-Jewish person who can do them for you, unless there's sakona, then a Jewish person can do it. So, b'sheni, on Yontif she'en shugolios, mutrafil ayidei Yisrael. A Yid can even do this, with the exception, chutz mi Yontif she'en shurashana. Yontif she'en shurashana is different, because there, it's not really Yontif she'en shugolios. The shnei yom and kedusha, achas arichtehen, because Roshana is one long 48-hour single day. And therefore, it's different by Rosh Hashanah than the Yom Tov Sheni of Pesach, Sukkos, and Shavuos. The Mishnah Berurah in Sivkot and Vav says, Oshar Choli, V'gam Kein, B'she'en O'kol O'kol Gov. Even if it's not involving the entire body, nevertheless you can be Mekel on Yom Tov Sheni. Sivkot and Zayin, the Mishnah Berurah says, B'she'eni Mutor, V'chulei, Sheminei Hanoas Aguf, Lo Echmiru Bo B'Yom Tov Sheni, B'Shavuos Durabonim. Because in this fashion, we weren't Machmir in Yom Tov Sheni when it's only dealing with the Durabonim, so they weren't Machmir in this situation. Finally, we have over here the Ramah who adds, Hagah v'davka shuz d'rabbanon, dumya d'michal eina. This is talking about where you can be making al yantav sheni. It's only when it's a din d'rabbanon that you'd be over. Aval avmalach in isadaraisa, which would be in isadaraisa and yantav rishon, and now, of course, in yantav sheni, it's only d'rabbanon because of minag avasem yadenu. Nevertheless, also yisro la soso afilu b'yantav sheni. Brings down from the Ran and the Magid Mishnah that you wouldn't be allowed to go and do this on Yontif Sheni if it would be a Daraisa, this type of Malacha on Yontif Rishon. You can only do on Yontif Sheni what you can't do on Yontif Rishon, or Dinam Derabbanan. And the Mishnah Berurah in Sivkot and Ches tells us, Bafilu Chash Bechol Gufo. This is true even if your entire body is involved. Nami Osoi the Atzma. You can't do it yourself. Of course, you can do Ami Ruli Akum in this situation. Finally, he brings down Kosov B'Issa V'Hetter. The Issa V'Hetter writes, Adam Hanofel Al Hanoguf. If a person falls down, V'Nitzrad Dom Bimkom Nifiloso O Negifoso, and he falls down, and he gets a black and blue mark over there, and he gets some sort of a collection of blood that must be drained. So, Ein Choshev Choli Apnimi. This isn't considered an internal type of an illness, for which you're allowed to be much more makel on in terms of doing refuah. And he says, Umiyachar she'ein mitztar kokach, it's not that painful. V'yochol ahamtim l'mochar b'lisakon, and you can wait to drain it till tomorrow. In this situation, Mishmur brings down, nearer the osulahakiz dam, you wouldn't be allowed to go and release this hematoma or whatever exactly this type of blood collection is over here. Shikorin kepin, to cup it, as we learned this the other day, this is something called cupping. Ubushonenu bankis, it's also known as bankis. What you do is you, let's say you heat up a cup with hot water, and then you pour out that water, and then you put that cup inverted on the skin, and it will pull up from the inside, some of the blood or some of the other products inside over there. They used to think it pulled up the intestine as well. The Gemara in Shabbos talks about that. And anyway, this is known as bankis. You have some star athletes that do this as well. Michael Phelps, the Olympic gold medal swimmer, he does this bankis, this cupping. It doesn't have any medical support for it, I might add. In any event, it would be not allowed to do this bankis for this type of a wound over here. Afilu b'yantiv she'en shugolis, even on the second day of Yontif. And afilu ayde akum. That is the words over here of the Issa V'Hefter. The issue footnote number 10 brings down that, by the way, this Issa of Lichol Esso Ayin is obviously only an Issa D'Rabbanan. Even though you're coloring, it's not considered Tzviya D'Araisa, because Tzviya, coloring on the skin of a person, is only an Issa D'Rabbanan and not an Issa D'Araisa. Finally, he says, in regards to extinguishing a flame on Yontif Sheni, that's not a sakonas nefashos, and you're only doing so the house doesn't fill up with smoke, so the Bir Halacha is going to learn in Tav Kuf Yudalit, Sha'af Sha'prichodosh Hitim is there, as we pointed out, the Prichodosh is Mekel on this. Nevertheless, Kishem Shuuta Lichol Esa Ayin, just like you can do the medicine in the eyes, Mikomokum Nochol HaHachmez, he says, we shouldn't follow this more lenient opinion, Kivin Sheesh Poskim Sha'asu, because not everybody agrees with this. With that, we conclude today's shir.